I grew up here in Los Angeles until Pearl Harbor. And then, as I think you know, Japanese Americans on the West Coast were summarily rounded up and sent into 10 barbed wire internment camps. Armed soldiers with guns, bayonets on them, came to our home to order us out. I remember that was a very scary day.
Did you love it?
We went to an airsoft arena.
Oh, it was
fucking
that sounds so cool!
Extremely tight.
Oh my god! Tight.
I mean, it was kind of like the ultimate 12-year-old boy fantasy
without any tits.
I mean, it was literally like you go into this fucking gym and they give you a BB gun and then they go, all right, the rules are that's the team you shoot and go, and then it's just and then you just spend 10 minutes. Like shooting
how do you
people
lose?
With BB guns.
Jesus.
Well, you get shot. When you get shot, yeah, it's kind of the way paintball works where you get shot and you put up your hands and you walk out and so nobody just like blindsides you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then there's the guy was explaining the rules and he was just like, it's kind of a trust based game. So
right.
You kind of go, you get hit and then you kind of go to the beginning and you just come back out.
I love
so
that.
So it was really like, it was
a little lax.
It was extremely lax.
But as it should be.
Fucking fun, dude.
God.
And it hurts like shit when you get hit, but it also like doesn't hurt enough to where you're like, I'm never doing this
but
again.
But it's not paintball.
Right.
It's not paintball, so
which
like when
seems
you get
like it
hit,
hurts more.
That
this
yeah,
might be
that,
the
yes.
right amount of hurt.
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, we've all shot BB guns. I mean, you know what a BB gun is
yeah,
like.
But
right?
It's a plastic BB.
It's a little plastic BB, right? Yeah. And you know, they're I don't know what the speeds are, but the guns are like you go out with
they
like
look,
an M4. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like you straight up have an AR-15 that shoots BBs.
God.
It was a freaking blast though. I really enjoyed
CNN,
it.
CNN guys.
I'm really happy
let's,
for my little brother.
Let's
so.
Hey, shout out it's your brother.
It's
it's your brother.
His upcoming wife is a freaking super cool lady.
So good.
I didn't know what you were about to say. Friggin'
slut.
No, she's extremely tight.
And that's awesome.
I'm glad she's going to be spending at least one Christmas with us. So,
at the very yeah. least.
It's your sister, dude.
That's true. It's my sister. It's your sister.
That's so exciting. She's all of our sisters.
She's all of our sisters now. Anyway, let's get into this friggin' podcast that we do. Hey, welcome to Did You Reddit? My name is It's Your Dad.
I'm Dog Boobs.
My Free Day.
Those are our Reddit names, not our real names.
No.
We talk about the internet every week by way of Reddit, the front page of the internet. We've taken a couple weeks off because we've all been traveling. Like I said, I was in Nashville for my little brother's bachelor party. Freed over here to my left was his birthday. He celebrated in backcountry.
I was up backcountry.
Backcountry in the Sierras.
Backcountry. It kind of is.
I was in backcountry in my attic the whole yeah. weekend.
I can imagine you just tripping on kratom
yeah.
in your attic.
Just leave me alone yeah. for 3 days. That,
I love the idea of calling your attic bat country. Because that is what it is.
What were you doing this past weekend?
I was in Maui.
Were you in Maui this weekend?
It was, no, I was last week. And then this weekend I did nothing.
That's
I went
awesome.
To my mom's. And she lives in the valley.
Did you game?
You didn't do nothing. You got that super sale purse.
I got the super sale purse.
Tell us about that.
I went a little batshit crazy. Okay, so like I feel like everything's been really busy lately. And when I got paid this last time, I'm like, you need to treat yourself.
Oh, girl.
Lot of cocaine.
Some cocaine snake tattoos.
snake tattoos and some purses on sale. Wow. So I did all of the above.
Cool.
Yeah, it was great.
But you didn't do cocaine. We're
I didn't do
that.
Cocaine. Right. I would have another snake tattoo to show if I did and true. I don't
okay. What's that a marmot tattoo
yeah no big deal
you don't know those marmots they fuck people
they're
up
they're fucking
dude.
Cute and vicious
cool
love them
that's cool
yeah.
So you're in the valley with mom that's tight dude
Taking
I think you deserve
easy.
It you've been traveling like literally nonstop.
Ugh, it's been a lot of traveling
and you're going out again tomorrow right
Yeah, tomorrow.
Where are you going this time?
Going up to Oakland just for a day cool. again. So
frequent flyer.
And it's not even like, I like longer flights. Like I want my flights to be at least 3.5 hours
right.
to 4 hours because otherwise I'm not going to get a good nap on it.
You can't get You can't. You can only get one Harry Potter movie, and you want to get. You want to get at least two of the three, right?
Look, I'm not going to get into like my REM cycle going up to San Francisco. It's like an hour.
Yeah.
So,
are you starting to feel a little bit like George Clooney in that movie? Now that you've been
flying so much? That Living in the Airport movie.
Right. And you're screaming at kids for going through airports slowly.
I have noticed that I don't get stressed about the airport as much anymore. Like, I think my flight to Maui was delayed like an hour and a half, and I didn't even notice it.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm going to go to the TGI Fridays. Yeah. The server there, Ken, and I have a real good rapport.
That's great. Yeah, yeah. I know, right?
Do you have one of the speed-through security things yet?
No, not even.
Really?
I keep putting it on my calendar to go to LAX to do it, and I keep having to move it because I'm flying.
So I definitely have clear, and
Is it worth it?
I mean, it's worth it in the short term. When they sell my biometrics to the Russians, it won't be worth it. But
it's not that they're going to sell it. It's that the Russians will just take it.
No.
That's a very good point. Yeah. They don't really buy much.
That makes me even angrier.
I don't know if you guys have been following the World Cup at all. Presumably not, but the...
Dog Boobs?
Yeah.
Me and Dog Boobs actually got up at 4 a.m. the other day because we wanted to watch that one game. You guys are
so culturally relevant.
Between the Danish, right? Was it the Danish?
I'm like a useless human being.
Yeah, and the Brazilians.
It was the Danes.
The Danes and the Brazzies.
The Argentines.
So you guys are just making words up right now, and I understand that.
And then remember that one time the guy kicked it and it went looped? It looped?
Oh, man.
So the reason I bring it up, though, is the World Cup has been really exciting, as the World Cup usually is, but like the best teams have all been like barely scraping by and 2-1 victories. The World Cup is in Russia this year, and the Russian team is absolutely demolishing their teams. I think everybody collectively is going like, something doesn't add up here.
No, like what kind of fucking hormones are they on?
So I wonder if that'll ever come out. It won't, because they just steal stuff. Anyway, so
one quick thing about the World Cup is that I saw someone finally sharing the meme from Superbad where Michael Cera just goes, "Fucking calm down, Greg. It's soccer." I remember that is a really good scene.
This is the one time of year where you get a bunch of yahoos that pretend they're cultured Europeans that actually live or they're just like
football.
White trash. I love the football. And then they shit on America for not knowing anything or being cultured, which is maybe true, because I was in Lancaster over the weekend.
Right.
And holy shit, there's some fucked up people up there.
There are some fucked up people up there.
And if you're our fans, I'm not talking about you.
No. I mean, soccer is the world's most popular sport. And for some reason, we just have never been able to get on the boat with it.
Yeah.
But...
isn't that weird?
It's very strange, but also not strange, because this is America and America does what America wants.
Yeah.
That's kind of the theme, but...
America touches who America needs to touch, okay?
That's true. Yeah. Okay. Different way to phrase it, but it means the same thing.
It's a different... That's an amended constitution line that we put in this year.
I would love if the constitution worked the way the rules of the internet worked, and once you got past the first, like, seven, then they all became nonsensical...
Yeah.
Contradictory statements against the rule immediately before it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the way the legal system works.
That's definitely the way the legal system works. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so this week we're talking about, so we're going to talk about the Japanese internment camps, which isn't actually a subreddit, but we kind of dug this one up from history, because this week has been rife with a lot of how might I say controversy regarding the border.
And if you're feeling out this week's episode and you just heard that and you're like, ooh, that sounds
ooh,
heavy.
A political pod, fuck that.
It's not.
That's not
it's
really
actually
what we're
hilarious
about.
And there's a ton of jokes. So
we've
stay
got
tuned.
Jokes.
We got jokes about the immigrant children.
There are tons of politics pods out there, and we don't need to do
we don't need to compete with that, but it's worth saying.
You know what's
that
funny? Sorry.
If we are about the internet, that's the whole premise of this pod, is about the internet. And this week, the internet it's almost exclusively about the kind of kids being held in cages and everything that's happening in the concentration camps at the American border.
Right.
So I feel like we can't
ignore that.
We can't ignore it. So the reason I say all that is because we're going to talk about Japanese internment camps and have a little bit of a discussion as it pertains to r/history, which... that's just a teaser. I'm not going to get into it right now, but as you can imagine, r/history is like a massive subreddit that this will not be the last time we cover it. and we're only going to be talking about it as it pertains to one specific topic, but it is a really interesting subreddit.
And it's important to admit that we're not historians,
yeah,
nor are we even just a little bit smart.
Yeah, no. Nor are we informed or smart. Yeah.
Which is not the point of what we're going to be talking about. Yeah. So don't hope to walk away with factoids.
But we will maybe provide a factoid or two. But before we get into that, let's talk about what happened on the front page this week. And also, Dog Boobs, I know you have a couple anecdotes about recent stalkers.
Stalker Watch fans.
I think Stalker Watch.
Yeah,
I think
this
should be a new. This should be a new segment that we do where we stalkers don't realize they're competing for your affection. It's kind of like The Bachelor, but none of them are actually.
And it's all
none
in
of
my
them
head.
Know you. It's all in your head, and and we're gauging their stock. Like the stock market,
yeah.
But they're stalkers.
Yeah, stalk market.
Stalk market.
Nice.
That's
and
so funny.
I ran out of words to describe that.
So,
segment, so.
We're on our 80th episode today.
This is 80th. Oh,
episode. Wow!
Around the world in 80 days.
80% of the way to 100.
In the last exactly 80 weeks in a row, because we've never taken a week off.
Never.
You have developed a reputation with our fans who happen to be all male, live in their basement, and have neck beards.
Right.
Who think you
are... Which are great.
Craven tendies with Honey Mussy.
That's honey exactly mussy. Right. They're Craven tendies with Honey Mussy. And so you've got a lot of suitors out there. It's your dad and I. We have been hit up zero times by all the hot chicks on the internet.
I have a theory about this.
Ho for Show will send me conspiracy theories sometimes.
Yes. He's just our friend.
He's transcended stalker status.
I'm putting out is not working, so yeah. I'm going to change my whole thing.
Maybe you need to up your karma, dude. Also, I'm at 1227 and or 1257.
Yeah, you elitist. Boo.
Wait, really?
I'm punching up on your status right now.
Holy.
What's your number right now?
My comments are at 9,439.
That is literally an unbeatable record. I will never
you'll
get there.
Get there. Don't give up.
What's your post though?
I'm trying to find with the new layout. It just kind of piles the karma together.
Well, let's just assume that I'm higher than you.
You are higher than me.
Because I'm at 1257, which is
my posts are under 100.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So you're all about that comment section.
Totally.
My karma, 88, guys.
Whoa!
Which if you asked me 3 months ago, I would think is impossible.
Yeah. So, like,
I mean,
that's
pretty
exciting.
You're a lurker, dude. That's
I'm
fine.
Like one of the fat people on the internet who'd lost a bunch of weight, and you're like, good for you, even though you should have never got fat in the first place.
I mean, you need to know tactics. I've told you this before. You need to go to the roast me subreddit.
Yeah, I do that
search
sometimes. Yeah,
by new.
Oh,
and put a fucking zinger because everybody will see that, and then they're gonna have no choice but to upvote it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, speaking of Japanese internment camps, I think my top comment of all time was making fun of a Japanese kid.
Really?
In roast me.
You should go to your internment camps.
Oh my god, roast
bro.
Me.
Something to that degree, but it fucking shot me through there. I'm virtually a celebrity in the.
You're good at roasting.
I'm not a celebrity, actually, at all. I literally am barely scratching the surface.
You're about to get pounded with hate mail.
Oh,
speaking of Japanese and World Cup and front page.
And we need to talk about what we were talking about, which is Stalker Watch.
So. But real quick, front page, all of these Japanese fans are picking up trash after the games.
That's the most Japanese shit I've ever
because
heard.
They are fucking the best citizens. Because like,
they learned their
citizens.
Lesson.
I want to. I think we should get back to that during the internment camp thing. Because
that ties in.
I've got so much to say about trash in Japan because I went there and it blew my mind.
Oh, all right, so let's talk about Stalker
Teaser.
Watch
right.
fast, and then Stalker we'll Watch. And then we'll talk about front page, and then we'll talk about our topic.
All right. First of all, I gotta say, you guys are not stalkers. We're just saying that because my theory is they reach out to me because I'm less threatening.
Mm. Right. You're the matriarch. Mm. Of
I'm the mom of the situation.
Right.
So I feel like, and they're always married too. So it's like they're reaching out to be like, my wife and I really enjoy listening to all three of you talk. Like
but
in
we,
a very nice way.
We have a proposal for
but
you.
And but we.
You're
the best.
There's a plane ticket waiting
That's
for
why
you.
I have a plane ticket to Michigan. But yeah, so I think that's partially why is they don't know. They don't maybe they don't want to get like smacked down by a big bad angry guy.
That's
and
fair.
That's why they're like maybe I'll dip my toe in. because she's been socialized to be polite, and so
that's true.
It works. But anyway, shout out to Tim Patterson. He reached out to us to say that he and his wife really enjoy listening to the three of us talk.
God bless you, Tim.
Love it. And I did a little stalking of my own, Tim, and he is a musical genius.
Is he?
Wow.
He's like a bassist and a pianist.
You know what we could use is a ditty for this pod.
Oh,
we I wrote a ditty for this pod. But we actually do need an update. I would love an update.
You wrote a great slap bass version of your ditty.
Yeah, I'm just saying like Tim's version of a ditty for the pod.
It'd be great. I mean, all his pictures are him and his bands with his bass, with his piano. Like, it's just, it's impressive. I think people who understand music are rare.
People who consume music are rare.
Very rare. But it looks like he's part of a band called the Dangling Participles.
Whoa.
And I just think that's the best name ever. Is this guy an English teacher? He's a music teacher.
What's a participle? Isn't that a...
I don't know.
Is that a sentence structure?
My first impulse would be...
Am I outing myself?
Testicle. But I don't think that's right.
I think that's the joke.
That's the patriarchy coming through in my head, right?
Anything,
that's
anytime you hear dangle.
Yeah.
The dangling participle. It's a word formed from a verb.
There we go.
And used as an adjective. Like a working woman or burned toast. So dangling participles.
Yeah, working woman or burnt toast?
Yeah, because
like the toast
usually,
is burned or the woman is working.
Oh, I see.
Working.
Strange usage of strange examples.
Let's just switch this pod to grammar lessons.
Okay.
Just like fun with grammar.
Talk about a non-compelling pod that we'd have no expertise in.
Even though
I write for a living.
But if you were out at a bar and someone said, what do you do? And you could say, I do a podcast about grammar.
Oh.
Right? People would be like, get the fuck out of my face.
Get out of here.
They do that when I do a podcast about Reddit too. They also
They're like, oh, you troll.
That's
awesome. I mean, they literally, sometimes I'll say that and they'll look at me and I know in their head they're confusing Reddit and 4chan and they're thinking terrible things
about
me.
They just lump it all in together.
Oh, yeah.
Like that happens pretty often, actually. I'll be like, oh, I do a podcast about Reddit. And they kind of give me this look of like, so you're one of those. Huh?
You're the problem.
Yeah.
You're the problem.
And then I have to be like, no, there's this one about
puppies.
Yeah, there's like,
sweet grandma.
There's this one about incels. Oh, wait. No, I mean, there's this one about incels. Oh, shit.
You're like, no,
and
I have.
Go, oh, yeah, they're all about incels.
Yeah. It's all incels.
It's all about incels.
Without you incels, we'd be nowhere.
Anyway, shout out Tim. Fucking
love it, Tim.
Goddamn gangster. And shout out Tim's wife, too. We're not trying to get all patriarchal here.
No, shout out to his wife. She listens, too. Sarah Patterson.
Tim probably forces his wife to listen, but whatever.
She's like, I'm so tired of this.
I love Michigan so much. It's one of my favorite places in the whole world. And
yeah.
I finished a record there last year, actually.
Oh, my God.
Michigan, so.
That's right.
Oh, up so UP?
I always forget Detroit is in Michigan.
Yes.
I always think of it as its own like District of Columbia, you know,
which
like
is understandable. I think it makes sense. So, all right. So now let's go back through the top of the week.
Top of the week.
And we're recording this on a Wednesday, so I think I'll probably be able to get this out on by the end of the week. So this hopefully will still be relevant. Granted, like we had mentioned at the beginning of the pod, this week. And the internet in general, particularly yesterday for some reason, I feel like everything had to do with the I keep saying they're concentration camps because they technically are, and I know that we aren't really calling them that as a country, but they are technically considered concentration camps at the border.
Yeah.
For both kids and adults, but separated, which is the big issue. And we've been hearing a lot about that. However, on the front page this week, I don't think it's really cracked the surface as much because I think there have been a lot of typical Reddit things. So, for instance, I actually really like this. This is like we always see. So, Faces of Meth is obviously one of the internet's best things. I would say
it was one of the earlier popular websites,
right?
Like from it was like Tub Girl, Faces of Meth.
Lemon Party,
like the classics, like Cake Farts, Two Girls, One Cup, One Guy, One Cup.
Right. So I think, but Faces of Meth, for anybody who's unfamiliar, is basically, I think it was put out by it was like an Oregon police force or an Oregon journalist or something like that. And it was a guy who would find photos of people before and after meth.
And then their arrest record, right? So it was always the same shitty profile.
And I will say that there was a there were two that you kind of look at and you go, you look better. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
But most of them, it's like, oh my God. Like, you have taken an unbelievable turn for the worse. You barely look like a person anymore. Like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah. That was the one thing that probably got me off meth the hardest.
It got me off of my interest.
Well, as far as a marketing tool, it was the one thing that I still remember.
Right.
That and then the egg on the frying pan.
Oh, yeah. But this is your brand on drugs.
That was a classic.
Yeah. So the reason I bring that up is the top post of this past week is actually in Pix, and it has 144,000 upvotes. Dang. So it's real popular. But it's been a long recovery in more ways than one. But !4 years clean from meth. And this actually doesn't explicitly say anything about faces of meth. But when you see these two photos together, it's actually the exact opposite. You see a guy who, he doesn't look terrible. I mean, I think all mugshots, no mugshot has ever made somebody look good, really.
Yeah, except for Lindsay Lohan.
And there's actually a Twitter feed called Mugshotties that I follow that is all like really beautiful women in their mugshots.
That's so great.
It's pretty
great.
Dope. But
they're all Florida teachers who slept with their high school students.
Pretty much, more or less. But I mean, most of it's like, you know, early teens who are... Or late teens.
Oh, right? Yeah. Hmm.
Late teens.
Busted.
Yeah.
Busted.
No, it's like late teen, like, you know, like 19-year-old alcohol possession or something like that. It's like from Daytona Beach and shit like that. But
yeah.
Anyway, but this is this guy. I don't know what his name is. Generated User is his...
Great name.
His username. But it's like of it. Him looking way, way, way better after...
Good for
after
him.
It seems like he no longer is doing meth, and part of it's also he looks a lot younger, his face is a lot fuller, and just generally he just looks like he isn't doing meth anymore. Yeah. Which is,
drugs are bad.
Some drugs are bad.
Some
meth is bad.
Shout out kratom, shout out coffee.
Shout out protein.
Chocolate.
Shout out NeuroGum. The gum that
you
I'm
love
fucking
NeuroGum.
Obsessed with. Yeah.
I saw this. That's getting a lot of love on the front page.
For good reason,
I love
man.
That.
Which I've noticed. This one I thought was kind of cool is from UBell16 right. Lopez.
Okay.
Ooh.
And it just says Waze summed up in a GIF. And there's this kid on the corner and he's holding a handwritten sign. And the kid's 12. And the sign just says, radar up ahead, slow down. Like he's telling you. And it's like a physical manifestation of what Waze would do.
That is. Okay.
And I just was like, wow, why is that kid out there? Like,
that's funny.
And he's got this dad who's like definitely a staunch libertarian. Who's like, fuck the government. Fuck taxes. Fuck their speeding tickets.
God, I love it.
He's like, you go, you know, the kid stand definitely got busted with like a Playboy. And he's like, you got to stand out there all weekend now. And you got to tell people to slow down because of radar. And I'm
hilarious.
I love this kid. He's so
funny. I love this.
That's amazing.
And the people, some guys pull up and they're like, what are you doing? He's like, it's not illegal. My dad's a lawyer.
That's amazing.
That's really hilarious.
My dad's a lawyer is such an amazing comeback.
It is such a good comeback. I feel like people are just going to be like, okay, carry on.
Yeah.
Never
I mean, what
mind.
Do you do about that?
Yeah.
I mean, lawyers are so scary. Like, the prospect of getting sued is the most horrifying thing in the world. So,
like, pissing off a lawyer that, like, can harness the law to fuck up your life.
Right.
That sounds really
scary.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think about that every time I rip something off of YouTube to play as the beginning of our music.
And you're like, this is
just
going to be the time.
Which is the video of somebody yelling at a stranger on public television that's going to get us sued. Anyway, so here's another one that I thought was actually pretty interesting because I think it's very relatable. So I've spent 10 years with this 160 gigabyte monster in my pocket. And it's an iPod, by the way, if this is what the picture
Ooh.
Is. It's been with me every single trip, journey and commute I've made since I was 20. Played it today. I played its last songs. Today it played its last songs. Farewell, you magnificent bastard. So it's just a photo of this guy's iPod with a big Justice sticker on the back, which for you guys, because I know you guys don't know anything about music, it's a band from France.
Cool.
It's very popular. But the reason I like this post is because the top comment is, there are conversion kits available to replace the old internals with modern flash memory if you want to keep party going. And then people are showing how to actually get it fixed.
Really?
Which is really cool because I think this is one of those pieces of technology. This also kind of ages us in an amazing way,
wow.
right? And I don't even mean it to us specifically, but I think the idea of iPods basically being like cassette players.
Yeah.
Is fucked up, right? I mean, that's an insane thought, you know?
It is.
So I think that this is, and especially since there's like a conversion kit for iPods, you know, from back in the day.
How do people do that?
I mean, this
guy like the rotary phone.
He probably got this in, I mean, 160 gigabyte. This looks like he probably got it in, I would say, 2001, maybe.
Holy.
Is it the AIDS? AIDS iPod or
the AIDS iPod?
Yeah, the U2 AIDS iPod.
Oh, was that a model?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh God, what?
I think you probably should have called it the U2 AIDS iPod instead of the AIDS iPod.
Oh, yeah, the red iPod Nano.
Come on. That was Bono a big deal, dude. Bono was like, let's fix this thing.
He's like, let's fix AIDS.
Buy an iPod.
I'm going to make the iPods red.
I'm going to go mine rare earth materials from the Congo.
Yep.
Kill AIDS.
Kill them.
And slaves. That's what Bono did.
God. That's what he loves to do.
And then you can listen to my music.
God, Bono's the best.
I don't like that guy. But anyway.
Love
it's ironic
you
that
too.
The iPod and the e-waste of the iPod has probably done more damage than AIDS in Africa.
Yeah, think about that. Capitalism. I know.
That's a broad statement.
Broad statement with no backup, but I agree wholeheartedly.
Hey, that's not a fact or a factoid. It's a smactoid.
Whoa!
Maybe it says an Altoid.
It might be. That's a great joke.
So another thing that was actually interesting, in the midst of all of... This is actually very contentious. I feel like the last week there was a lot of just like, like normal. There was some like AWWs, some picks, some funny, some gaming for whatever reason.
Yeah,
a lot of gaming actually. But the thing that actually went up yesterday and already has 90 upvotes, and it was in news, and it was in Michigan. A girl lied about being raped on campus and is now going to jail.
Good.
Very good. But I think this is one of those moments. I think this is a little bit of speculation, but I usually you wouldn't see such an anonymous kind of random story pop up
in
the top of the week, and especially with 90,000 upvotes.
But that's true.
I think people are collectively being like, maybe finally this is going to start happening a little bit, because I think that there's been a little bit of a wave I don't really know what to say without
men are back on top.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But you know what's crazy? Like I don't know if it's statistically more likely now because people are more comfortable coming out with stories. But I've read so many things about, I mean, not a ton, but I've read stories about women making up rape accusations for years and years. It doesn't, I don't think it happens as often as some people like to think, but
some people like it's the, so those corners.
Yeah, but that, yeah. I bet maybe it's probably getting more traction as like a news story now because people are like, you know, oh shit, finally someone's
in the past you could make it up and nobody would listen. Now people are listening. I mean, the last like 15 years
people were listening, but now it's like it's ruining people's lives on an alarming
There's an
rate,
immense amount of power that comes with the accusation without any proof.
Right.
That's
a good point.
If anybody has an unchecked power, it doesn't matter who. Some people are going to abuse it, right?
Yeah.
Just like how I like to walk around my neighborhood with a whacking stick and I hit kids.
Yeah, but that's so true. In the past couple of years, like a rape accusation's gone from being like horrible, and rightfully so, I think, but something that is like socially, like reputation destroying.
Right.
Like this is that's awesome. But I think that's what ends up making false accusations more serious.
Well,
now.
I think that's the key word is accusation, right? I think that the accusation is ruining people's lives, not the proven kind of I don't really know how to articulate it, but I think that the court of law and the kind of the overwhelming evidence that comes with a Bill Cosby or a Weinstein, I think that we've come to this age where an accusation alone ruins people's lives.
Yeah, because a lot of people do assume like
Let me chuck out an idea here. Maybe. I'm just thinking.
Maybe.
I love when you chuck out ideas.
What's it going to be?
We're within, let's just say, 10 years, probably sooner, 10 years, where every room in your house has a camera in it.
Oh, yeah.
And you might even have...
I bet 2 years.
Probably 2 years, right? But let's just say 10. I don't know.
Very close. Yeah.
Let's go 10 safe.
Let's 10 safe. And so, not to mention, So A, you know, every room's going to have a camera in it. So mm-hmm. if you were getting down, even in college, right? Like,
right.
And some girl's like, he raped me. And you're like, well, I don't think I did.
Let's look at the evidence.
Here's the proof.
Let's look at the state sponsored.
And then you have to actually like show the video. It's very embarrassing for everyone. But I think there would be proof, right? Just like body cams do for cops. So
totally. But what then I'm you suggesting wonder, is it worth it?
Is it worth it?
The technology?
No, I think it could balance the scales a little bit. And you're going to catch some guys who are raping, and you're going to catch some girls who didn't get raped.
But you're also going to catch people who are just minding their own business.
Jerking it.
Picking their butts, jerking it at the same time.
Oh, yeah. There'd be a great goof reel
it.
Out there. But what I'm suggesting is a new product, and it's like it's a body cam, but for your penis.
Your
vajayjay.
What would you call that? Genital cam.
That was the idea that I was hoping you'd eventually get to.
A wang cam.
Wang cam.
No, that's not quite
right. We've got time. We've got technically like as little as 2 years and as much as 10 years.
You know, the Nest cam would be good for a woman.
Yeah, because it's like a freaking bird's nest down there.
You get it, guys? You get it?
Get it?
All right. Way to go, everybody.
Anyway,
I do think it's a serious topic, and I think it's going to be. I mean, I think one of the big things that came up in that article.
I wasn't kidding when I said that.
Oh, I know. I'm not serious.
It's a good idea.
Of course, it's a serious topic.
Maybe put it like in your pee hole.
Oh, there we go. Now we're getting into the tactics, yeah. Which is what I like.
I'll think about the design.
Yeah, let's think about the design a little bit off the pod. We'll come back to you later, listeners, with the pee hole camera design. Anyway, I think that the one of the big issues that was brought up in that article, and then we'll kind of close the loop on that one, is the time that she was given was, I think, 45 days.
Oh, wow.
Which I think people are just like, the fuck? Because I think that obviously if that guy had gotten if it had been real, it would have been
like
years and years and years, maybe never, right?
Right.
And it would have ruined his life forever. And she's like not on the sex registry, not on it. It's just literally like 45 days and you're clean. You're good. Yeah. Get out of here. And so I think people are still a little bit like, that doesn't seem like justice to a degree, right?
Devil's advocate, ladies advocate, is I know sometimes I don't think about it and a lot of people don't think about it, right. But I think what's been brought up too a lot in the past couple of years is how not black and white rape and sexual assault and stuff are
because of Jedi mind tricks and stuff.
Totally,
right.
And like, I think the Aziz Ansari story was like a really good example of that, where it was like clearly he did not assault her, but she walked away feeling taken advantage of, and blah 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 blah.
Right.
That does not mean someone raped you, but that might have gone into consideration when the judge was like sentencing her. Like maybe it was a situation where like. She was super. I'm not justifying it, but
of course,
it could have been like a gray area type of thing where it's like you did consent. So
you're regretful doesn't mean it's rape.
Totally.
Right. And I think we've all regretted a couple of what I'm saying.
Oh yeah,
right.
But there's a difference between that and someone who's like, fuck him. I'm gonna just tell someone he raped me. So yeah, it's like course, that person should. I'm not saying.
Well, but then
45 days is okay.
It's a he said, she said thing, and the concept of victim blaming is obviously very dangerous as
but
well.
But that's like
and
how then, sentencing works, you know.
Yeah, but that's it's we're in a complicated time. I think we don't need to belabor this because this topic has been covered millions and millions of times. However, we are a pod about the internet, and the internet I think is kind of it's a bit of the public forum for this kind of topic right now. And I think Reddit in particular has a reputation for having a lot of those neckbeardy kind of give me my tendies with honey mustard type peoples. And so because of that, I think that I just find it interesting that in a short period of time, it has risen the ranks on the front page of Reddit, which I think otherwise is a relatively innocuous story.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what that ultimately means, but I think it's interesting regardless. And then I think maybe the last thing we can bring up from the front page, because I think it probably segues nicely into what we're going to be talking about, is this is 35 down. So it's actually, considering some of the other things, it's not super high. But with 81,000 upvotes, and this is world news, the U.S. has officially quit the U.N. Human Rights Council. All right, finally out of that piece of shit.
Yeah,
get out of here.
Holy.
Hands were tied for too long.
I know. I mean, it's funny. This is actually an interesting. This is what ultimately part of the reason why we're talking about Japanese internment camps instead of like the issue with the border today, is because I think the issue behind that is actually it seems on the surface very politicized, where it's just like, holy shit, we quit the UN Human Rights Council.
Yeah, we don't
Fuck
like human
us.
Rights
yeah.
anymore.
But That's I think the issues are a lot more us. Complicated. I mean, apparently Obama actually was the one who joined it. We had previously not been in it. And then I think one of the things that Nikki Haley has to state, I think there are two things. One I don't agree with and one I do agree with. I don't agree with her being like, you guys pick on Israel too much, because I think Israel deserves to be reprimanded for its treatment of Palestine. Mm-hmm. And obviously America is constantly like, well, Israel does nothing wrong because yeah. they're our friends, right? However, I do think that one of her point in quitting about saying that they're inconsistent with other member countries has validity, because I think Russia, Egypt, like there are other countries in it that you kind of look at their track record with human rights and you go, the fuck kind of human rights organization is this?
Yeah. Afghanistan.
Like not, yeah, like you guys are ignoring Ivory Egypt Coast. And like, yeah, Egypt and Russia, but you're getting mad at us. Now, that said,
it's almost as if they have political leanings.
Well, I think America is still ultimately, we can't walk into the Middle East and be like, we're here to spread democracy for all. And then like when we're expected to be a leader in human rights, we go, why are you picking on us? I don't think it works that way. I think mm-hmm. we have to, there's a reason why we get called out for something that is maybe, I mean, it's hard to say on a scale of human rights abuse where what's happening with us at the border is compared to like Russia with you know, homosexuality and the kind of criminalization of homosexuality or whatever, like pick a human rights issue that happened somewhere.
Yeah.
But we should be setting an example in theory, right?
Yeah. So a good, right. I think a good explanation of this and a good subreddit that we'll touch on today too is in Neutral Politics about this exact issue, which is what are arguments for and against the U.S. leaving the UN Human Rights Council, and kind of what you just said. This user Sinai said, like, these are the members, Afghanistan, Angola, like all of these, Congo, like places that it you're like, really, you're in that? So assuming you're familiar with countries of the world, you can be assured that the wolves are watching the hen house. And then from the standpoint of the U.S., there's one major issue is that they're consistently anti-Israel. So like,
yes,
you said,
exactly.
So that's I think a really cool subreddit
right.
to look into for yeah, these kinds politics. Of insane
things. It's just a good way to try to, like, if you can control your emotions to be able to back away and be like, all right, what is happening on Neutral Politics?
Yeah.
So anyway, though, and we technically, so this like I said, this sub is or this episode is a little different because we're not specifically talking about a subreddit, which we typically do. We typically just focus on a subreddit, dive deep, and kind of let the subreddit talk, you know, kind of speak for itself on across many topics. But today is more just about a topic that I think is represented across a couple different subreddits, and something that I think just generally is a little misunderstood in America. And we're not going to explain Japanese internment camps to the full extent, because obviously right. it's a complicated issue within America for a lot of reasons. And, you know, I think people have talked about it. There are much better podcasts to listen about, like the history of Japanese internment camps. But as it pertains to what's happening on the internet right now, I think it's a really interesting topic that you can do some research on Reddit to kind of understand the comparison that has been drawn between what's happening right now with the border and the concentration camps at the border and Japanese internment camps, particularly as it pertains to agriculture, I've come to realize.
Ooh, interesting.
So,
yeah. That's the big deal to
me. That's the big deal, and I think that's what's really interesting. I think when you start, this is a little bit like getting into the conspiracy theory of it all, but just to break it down, I think on the surface, so starting on history, I think our history, since this is probably what you'll see when you look at the episode description, our history is probably the best place to get like the initial kind of deep dive. I think once you start, if you search Japanese internment camps on Reddit or Japanese internment or whatever, you'll start finding a lot of things from politics, for instance, because politics tends to be a little bit more aggro, a little bit more, I don't know what you. It's just a little bit more emotionally intense.
Yeah.
History, I think, is a little bit more like,
the fact.
I'm curious. Yeah, like, I want to know more about this. Can somebody explain it, right? And there was a post from about a year ago, actually, how bad actually were Japanese internment camps in the U.S.?
That's so interesting to look into, because I feel like you don't really learn much about Japanese internment camps in school. Like, by the time you learn about it, you're like senior in high school or something, and you're like getting very little of the story.
Well, plus there's a semantic issue with it that I think is fascinating, and this is part of the reason why I was stumbling on the word concentration camp. Because actually, on the way over here, I was thinking a little bit about it. I was listening to a reading of a popular Time article that came out like a couple days ago that was about Japanese internment camps as it pertains to this issue, because of something that I want to say Laura Bush said.
Oh yeah,
I think Laura Bush. I believe it was one of the Bushes. She wrote an op-ed about how this reminds her of the Japanese internment camps, and so it was kind of analysis of it. And concentration camps, because they had talked about concentration camps a couple times, and we think of concentration camps as Nazi concentration camps.
Yeah, like death camps.
We think of them as death camps, but concentration camps are really the baseline definition is a camp or an encampment where refugees or people in political prisoners are left, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the Nazis, not only do they steal the swastika from the Buddhists, they stole the word concentration camps.
I want the word concentration camp back.
We want it back.
Give it back.
Reclaim concentration
guys,
camps.
Guys, so what we're saying is concentration camps, they're not that bad.
Bring it back. Yeah.
That's what our pod's saying.
So that's what we're trying to stand behind.
But it's true, right? I mean, we all think of like the Nazi camps.
Yes.
But they're really refugee camps for people who are displaced for whatever reason.
Yes. Well, for whatever reason being political reasons, right?
Yes.
And that could be because El Salvadorian government is sending you out. That could be because Libya is being bombed or Afghanistan is being bombed. Or it could be because Trump wants to build a wall and is putting everybody in these fucking camps while they're in limbo because of political reasons that are kind of even beyond their control, right? Or, in this context, it's the Japanese internment camps, which we call internment camps, which I think is one of those clever tricks of the American education system, where we go, oh, they're internment camps. It wasn't like a concentration camp. It was very different,
It was a party camp.
Yeah, it was a party camp.
They had HD. They had Netflix.
Yeah, they had animated. It was so sick. But that's what it was. It was a concentration camp. And the reason it happened, and I didn't actually know this, but so FDR is actually who signed it signed the law, or the, I don't know what you call it. He's the one who brought about the internment camps for Japanese Americans.
Executive order.
The executive order.
9066.
And the reason kind of makes, I don't want to say it, I don't want to justify it, because I don't think there's any justification of this kind of thing, but the rationale you kind of understand to a degree, right?
And yeah, the way we've been taught it, yeah, totally.
Well, I think what I was reading about it was basically when Pearl Harbor happened, America goes, holy shit, all these Japanese Americans are on the West Coast. The West Coast is potentially going to be, it could be invaded if these people are sending information back to Japan. We got to get them off the coast for national security reasons.
Which,
right?
I think is in like an inherently racist
extremely
idea.
Racist. Extremely racist.
They'd never conspiracy think that theory about is European immigrants.
No, I agree. I mean, it's totally racist, but it's also you see the reasoning, right? Like you.
But what
you
if they were
the
all
line of
sleeper
logic.
Cells, totally. Ready to activate?
I mean, that's basically what they were saying. They're saying
take
like, what if they were
swords,
sleeper cells? Yeah,
because that's what they're into.
Yeah,
and then start attacking. And
I mean,
so
that
to
was the
defend
whole logic.
Against it.
Fucking FDR.
We're just gonna keep them at bay,
right?
In these nice resort towns, kind of like sandals.
Resort towns.
Yeah.
These resort tents.
All-inclusive resorts is how people could call
resort
them.
Resort tents, yep.
And that's where they...
Timeshares.
Yeah. They're all-inclusive, guys.
Right.
God.
We provide it all.
So I think I was very surprised that FDR was actually the one who did it.
Yeah.
Because you think of FDR as like the fucking the boy genius who had polio and died, unfortunately, right? But he was the one who did it.
I guess we all unfortunately die.
Right. And that's true. And Reagan was the guy who actually officially came out and said, we fucked up.
All right, Reagan.
Which is also interesting. I think give a point to Reagan for that one.
All right, you get a point, buddy.
So in that post, the how bad actually were Japanese internment camps in the U.S., the rest of the post from this guy is it has 95 comments. And I think this is how history typically works on Reddit, is you look at the history sub. A lot of it is people kind of discussing what they know in the comments, right? So I remember not learning about this until high school and being shocked. Even as kids, we were taught how awful the Jewish camps were, and it's hard to find solid mentions of something American history tends to try and forget. Everything I found painted them as not too bad, and saying most people died after their internment camp due to health effects. So I find it very hard to believe. Health effects sounds pretty bad. Were there a lot of deaths because of them? And as a general rule of thumb, I only use Wikipedia as a last resort, or maybe I think it's worse than it really is because of the word internment, which is interesting because he thinks the word internment is actually a trigger word for something worse. But
yeah.
So the top comment is, I dated a girl whose parents and grandparents were both in internment camps. Both families had big farms in the Northeast. They lost all their property. My friend said that all her father would say was that there were lots of cute Japanese girls in the camps. Boing, 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 boing.
Schwing.
So
schwing.
They were like a sandals.
Yeah.
Sandals. I knew it.
The U.S. government took away the family's livelihood, and rather than being bitter and resentful about it, he just turned his feelings aside and made a joke. I can't imagine. Yeah. What were you going to say, Fried?
Tougher generation.
Right.
So did they not get their land back? Was that ever squared? I mean, I guess it's probably
They didn't get their land back. I think that's the big travesty of all this, and I think that's where the agricultural thing gets really interesting, is because...
kind of like a racial punishment for being a...
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like what we hear about when the cops can, like, see that you have $500 and you're hauling a trailer and they go, I doubt you're selling that trailer. You're probably selling drugs. $500 mine. You go like, I have a trailer with a for sale sign on it. What the fuck are you talking about? And they go, I don't know. I'm a cop. I can do whatever I want. Yeah. I think it's like a similar thing to that, right?
Sure.
What do you call that? Something seizure.
It's called like force.
Oh, yeah. Something forfeiture.
Seizure,
forfeiture.
Caesar. Hail Caesar.
Hail Caesar, forfeiture. But anyway, so I think that was really interesting. And then I think as it pertains to with the current situation with American, with what's happening at the border, I think the undertone, apart from just broad racism, the undertone of the whole issue is largely, in my opinion, about Mexicans taking jobs that America claims they want, but nobody wants to fucking work the way that a Mexican person works, right?
Yeah.
And that's obviously not a slight on Mexicans. That's just like, it's been proven that like when Mexicans leave the workforce, Americans don't go, yeah, I'll work 22 hours in the field, right?
I mean, that's why they made that movie, The Day Without a Mexican. And it's it's and actually like too. A really, and white chicks. But yeah, I think it's important too to realize it's not even necessarily about race. It's about like, they're immigrants. So they're here and they see this as an opportunity land. So they're willing to take whatever opportunities they can find, even if it's like pennies a day.
Right.
Which is something that Americans won't do.
But the crux of what's going on is not that people are coming here illegally and then being put in these detention centers. It's the outcry is that they're separating the kids from the parents, which I don't really understand why.
Well, and I mean, they're
and that's just because there's an age gap and they have like different.
They're basically putting they're taking the parents and putting them in like holding as while they await prosecution because of the no tolerance policy.
Right.
Even though they're asylum seekers, they're treated like criminals right away. And then they are separating the kids so that the kids are put into, I don't remember, is it Human Health Services or something? Like not an organization. It's like part of the government that will take care of the kids while their parents, quote, take care of the kids, while their parents await prosecution. So it's like they're separated because the kids aren't being prosecuted because they're kids, but they're being held as prisoners in another way.
Yeah. I mean, this is ultimately, I think this is the great tragedy. I mean, it's very tough because I think that it, as it pertains, so kids were not separated from their families in the Japanese internments or in the internment camps. They were left together, but I think the comparisons are less about the children and then more about pulling people indiscriminately putting people in camps as a precautionary measure that then for future generations is considered a really ugly mark on American history. I think that's the reason why, more than anything, it's drawing these comparisons. Now, the kids thing, I think, is really a byproduct of poor infrastructure and a system that people don't really have any... This is the government being slow, ultimately, right? Because it's a lot of conservative circles, you'll hear them when somebody brings this up, they go, well, if I got arrested for drunk driving, they wouldn't let my kids stay with me.
Yeah.
And then you go, yeah, obviously, but that's because there are parental guardians. There are other people typically where that kid is going to go. Like, you don't put them in a cage. Like, you don't, when you get arrested for drunk driving, they don't take your kid and put him in a separate prison cell by himself with other kids whose parents have been arrested for drunk driving.
But what do you do? I mean, the law is that you're not allowed to come across the border without the legal process.
But the greater issue too is that they're asylum seekers, which is there's an international law of accepting people who are fleeing their country because of violence and
right,
which is one of those slippery slope things where you're like, I understand the rule, but it's at a certain point, it's just, how do you allow everybody to come because their country is a piece of shit?
I mean, legally the asylum thing that is written legally that you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to let them go through the legal process that allows them to seek refugee status.
And so when they
land,
they're hypothetically doing that.
Right. If they're applying for asylum through refugee status, right? I think if you cross illegally, then I think what would make more sense, particularly in this situation, is that the kid stays with the family, mm-hmm. particularly if they're of a certain age, right?
Yeah.
Like two?
Well, I mean, that's happening. I mean, that's the great tragedy of this right now is that it's not like
8 month old.
Yeah, it's not like kids are being taken away from teenagers are being taken away from their parents. It's that there are literally babies, toddlers, 6 year olds being taken away from their parents and put in these cages with a bunch of teenagers, with a bunch of other babies, with a bunch of people they don't fucking know from countries they don't know, right? And it's
with no people in charge, like, able to take care of them. There are kids changing other kids' diapers for days at a time because no one else is paying attention.
I mean, imagine, like, remember the experience of being like lost in a mall and not being able to find your parents, and you freak the fuck out.
Yeah,
like, imagine I think every kid's had that, but it's like, this is a situation on the extreme where it's not even like you're like misplaced from your parent. It's like you're put in a traumatizing situation as a holding cell while you're waiting. So I think...
Okay, I get it. Yeah, we all know that it's shitty, but so what? So then what? You know, like, well, it's not good. I don't think anybody's going like, this is sweet. We should keep this up.
But well, I think the separation of children from their parents is new. So, like, there have been there have been laws against illegal immigration
forever. I mean, I don't think
but
anybody...
But so what? Like, are we just going to vent about it? Or what's the
point?
But
this,
you know,
is,
what
but
I
this
mean?
Is like, the big issue. I mean, this is the question is, like, what? How do you solve it? And then I think the government, and this is where things get really sloppy and sad, is the government is saying, well, it's not our fault.
Yeah.
Right? And everybody goes like...
saying, it's Obama's fault.
Yeah. And everybody's looking at them being like, what are you talking about, dude? This is like, you shouldn't be separating children from their parents. And they go... well, it's not our fault that that's happening. It'd be like, the fuck it is. Who else's fault is it, guys?
I mean, the argument is it's their fault for putting themselves in a situation where they're breaking some kind of a rule. I mean, I'm just saying what their argument is.
But
there is a law.
The asylum is not illegal. Like that.
No,
that is
the separation part.
But
even them coming to the United States isn't illegal if it's considered asylum seeking.
Right.
And I know it's like, that's, I agree, it's hard to,
but can't you just say like, asylum?
if that's the loophole
coming,
then they need to recognize that as the loophole that they need to they need to go by legally, right? And I think that I think regardless of the situation, I think that this is one of those things where it's an incredibly bad look for the United States.
Totally.
It's putting the United States in a situation like, again, this is why the comparison is drawn to Japanese internment camps, where I think in future generations, we're going to get into a situation where we're going to look back at this and we're going to go, yikes.
Yeah.
Because the Japanese people that were in internment camps got $20,000 reparations, right? But it was like 40 years later.
Yeah.
Right. So it was a generation removed from the people that actually had.
Yeah, they've lost everything. And
didn't
everything.
You need right. like well-kept tax records in order to collect on that? And
I'm
most
not sure
of
about
these
that, yeah.
people had their tax records
destroyed. Yeah. So I think that this is going to be one of those situations where we're going to see interesting lasting effects, even though I understand the idea of we need to stop. We need to pay attention to our borders. We need to fix this. Absolutely. Totally.
Well, yeah. I think the other question is the Trump administration, is their political platform working to their voters, right? So the people who support them are going like, yep, that's what we wanted. We wanted you to be tougher on the borders. And they're not as outraged as a lot of people who have hearts and emotions.
Tough. I mean, it's
Do you know what I mean? I think people are going like, yeah, that's what it's going to be like now.
I think.
And maybe it's not a physical wall, but it's a fucking emotional wall where it's like, if you come, we're going to fuck your shit up. And that's kind of what's happening in these families.
I mean, I think.
You're scared.
Yeah, I think that's true. But I don't think. I think part of the issue that is coming up again and again, and I don't mean to keep drawing an unnecessary comparison of the Japanese internment camps, but I think there are a lot of analogies that can be drawn. But the idea of America being like this morally superior to other places that have massive, you know, humanitarian issues, and then we do this and we kind of lack the integrity to be able to make a claim like that reasonably, you know what I mean? And I think that was the big issue with the Japanese internment camps, where we hear the word concentration camp, we go, well, that's the Germans' thing, they killed Jews, we're not like them.
Yeah, we're not.
And then
bad.
And then all of a sudden you go, oh, you mean we took American people who just happen to be racially Japanese and put them in a camp against their will and destroyed their property and did that just because we were afraid of irrationally afraid of them doing something with people that they have no relationship with across the ocean. You know what I mean? And I think that's where people are going. So let me get this straight. You're taking these women and their kids who came here to seek asylum, and in the act of them seeking asylum, you're separating them, causing presumably lasting psychological damage.
Totally.
Right? And we're still supposed to be able to claim that we are morally superior to the countries that they're fleeing from?
Yeah.
It's questionable.
It's
right?
fucked up.
Right.
And it came out yesterday, too, that there were notes taken at a Department of Homeland Security meeting with the Trump administration where they're using separating migrant children from their mothers as a deterrent. Like, it's
that's
a strategy.
What I was saying. Yeah. And so that's not, your emotional wall or whatever.
And like, so it's not
a scare tactic.
It's not what the Republicans are trying to say, where it's like, it's a law, it's been on the books since Obama, we're just enforcing it. It's like, no, they talked about doing this as like a strategy for cutting
for
down on asylum
right.
seekers.
It's interesting how they're like, yeah, the separation thing is sort of, it feels like a scare tactic. Like Obama, they just deported everybody. And they were pretty aggressive with it.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing that people forget about Obama. And like, I love Barry. Got no problems with him. Got no problems with this even.
Well, he was fucking slick, baby.
I mean, but he was also, he deported a lot of people.
The most.
Yeah. Right, the most ever. Right?
Per the history.
Which I also find
which
ironic.
Which is only going to be the most every other year, right?
Of course. But I find it ironic given the platform of this administration, that the previous administration that it fights so hard to distance itself from, set the standard for deportation.
Yeah.
He was also the biggest attacker of the free press.
Obama?
Yeah. Like,
was
he went after journalists the most. He put people in jail. Yeah.
Who?
I just listened to this New York Times thing about it.
When?
On The Daily. But I'll send it to you guys. The Daily's a great podcast, but they just did this story about Obama really opened the gates on it. Trump's riding the wave. So like, you're seeing these unintended consequences,
come on,
right?
Man.
Where it's like,
come on, Barry.
Barry does it. He kind of does it under the radar, and then Trump does it, but yells about it. And so everyone, you know, but it's not like it wasn't going on anyway. It just wasn't.
But that's also what people say about Clinton, right? I mean, I think that people say that about, especially as it pertains to the FCC.
But I think we sort of fall for this Svengali trick of it all, which is like, hey, I'm nice. I'm your guy. I speak well. I look good.
Right.
I don't say the wrong thing. I must be perfect. but maybe some shit's going on behind the scenes. It's the better political way to go. It's less.
Totally. It's like politicians are still politicians.
Of course.
Yeah. And I think, you know, to sort of like treat them as perfect beings is I don't know. I don't think you're going to. Well, get the story.
I mean, that kind of gets to the FDR thing. I think that's kind of what's interesting about when you think about FDR being the one who initiated the internment camps.
Trump's just, he's so out vocal that everyone's right. like, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
He's such a dick.
Well, he lacks decorum at a pretty dramatic
And it's kind of dumb. It's kind of dumb, but it actually, maybe it's smart because it gets the eyeballs. And right. That's really what he wants. But
I mean,
it also brings a lot of heat.
It brings a lot of heat. I think he's a complicated character for a lot of reasons. I certainly don't think that. I think that the big line that is really difficult about this issue, and again, I keep pulling it back to Japanese internment camps, because I think going into this pod, for all of our listeners out there, we had a debate behind the scenes that we were like, do we want to talk about this? How can we talk about it in a graceful way? Because again, at the end of the day, if we're going to be a podcast about the internet, we can't not discuss this thing right now, because it is fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
It is the only thing people are talking about on the internet right now, and it's so hot and heated that we would kind of be disingenuous to pretend that it's not really happening. And I think that's part of the reason why I think the Japanese internment camp is a really interesting issue, is because there are a lot of similarities that I think you can trace through Reddit. And this is a little bit of a do your Reddit homework kind of concept for today. But I think when you research how the internment camp is discussed online, you start seeing a lot of what Friday over here is talking about, where it's a lot about the perception of the rules and the perception of the politicians that are technically instigating the rules and enforcing the rules.
For political gain, which is where it gets fucked up.
Well, I agree with that. And I think that's
They're using people as pawns. And stuff,
but that's how war works. Same fucking principle. I mean, that was actually one thing I thought about when I was playing Airsoft this past week, and I was just like, this is fun as shit, and I'm not getting killed. Like, why don't we just, like, start doing this instead of war? And then I was just like, well, actually, that's part of the point of war, is that when people die, it feels like the stakes are too high to not...
Yeah.
To, like...
You want it to end for some...
Yeah, you want it to end.
It's the ultimate negotiating tactic.
Yeah, it's a negotiating tool. And so I think that's a lot of what's happening right now, is it's a negotiation tool. And this is actually something that's being brought up a lot. I think Nancy Pelosi actually said it. Or at least
old
it was
Nance?
About Nancy. Old Nance.
Old Nance.
But it was that
Nance the got whole hotter reason. As she got older, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is not normal. Like, not I mean, usually normal. Usually she peaks at like 32. But
well,
she's like at like 87, and you're like, wow, Nance is like,
damn, what? Nancy.
What's that girl up to?
She is Californian. Great. Like, we get rebates
her
for plastic surgery.
Her teeth are getting
here.
Wider and bigger. Yeah. But she's like, right. Her hair is getting better in a way. You're like, Nance.
But anyway, with Nancy Pelosi, I think she brought up, or somebody had brought up, that the whole reason he's doing this is so that he can get his fucking wall. So that the Democrats will be like, fine, we'll give you your goddamn wall. He'll be like, cool, free the kids. Everybody in. I don't care. I don't give a shit.
The other thing that we kind of maybe touched on was that I think is interesting about California specifically, but probably all the border states is specifically because we live in California and it's such a big farming community. I think it's, you know, I don't know what the statistics, 85% of the country's produce comes out of the California Central Valley. You know, the migrant labor force here is, I think the companies that run the major farms, huge factory farms, right?
Yes.
Big time farms.
Right.
Billion, I think the statistic is like $43 billion a year is like what the farms in California make. They rely heavily on these immigrants. So, I don't think California, like, you know, like, I think California's liberal and they claim to be a liberal safe haven for a lot of these immigrants,
right.
But maybe it's about money too, which doesn't sound as sexy. So maybe we want to be a safe haven for immigrants because it's sort of a slave labor force, which the state benefits from a tax.
Benefits from hugely, right?
Hugely. And so it's like, what's kind of one of these things where you're like, these companies need these people to come in. Right. So we don't want this wall, not because we're good guys, because everyone wants to be a good guy, but it's also like, we want our profits to stay up because we're a publicly traded
company. I think it's a double-edged sword. I think that there's certainly
true sword?
A true
sword. How much?
This is finally our shout-out for true swords.
A double-edged true swords deal of the day.
BOGO. Buy one the edge, you get another edge. Free. But I think it is a double-edged sword, because I think that collective morality is one thing, and I think that nobody wants to be a cold-hearted monster and say, like, I don't care about these kids, right? But however, there is also the practical economic reality. So with that in mind, because you brought up the agriculture thing, I'm going to bring it back to the Japanese internment thing really fast.
Oh, snaps.
So there was a discussion. So this was actually on AZ Identity. So Asian Identity subreddit.
AZ.
AZ.
There's a huge camp in Arizona, too. Which,
there is a huge camp in Arizona.
I went to school there.
But, so this is AZ Identity, and it's from, it's a discussion that was actually found on Best Of, right?
Dank.
So this is actually a confusing Reddit hole here, but so the comment on AZ, the actual post itself.
It's AZN.
Oh, I'm sorry, AZN. Asian. Asian Identity. But the whole, the post
Asian.
Itself, yes, the post itself was discussion about how U.S. farm lobby pushed for Japanese internment in World War II, which came from, it's a cross post from r/bestof.
Is that like legalized slavery?
Kind of, but it also came from politics, right? So here is the article, this is an article from the Washington Post called The Secret Use of Census Helped Send Japanese Americans to Internment Camps in World War II.
Jeez.
And then the top post, which this is actually a very popular post, and this has 1,165 points, upvotes, mean points, of course. More similarities. Tabor, who's a writer, compares the California agricultural industry's role on Japanese internment with today's immigrants. Their role in the agricultural sector and private prison industry's need for skilled farm labor. Huzzah! Hmm. Exactly what Frida over here said. So, Japanese immigrants in the 19th and early 20th century came to the U.S. in large part for manual farm labor in California. Sound familiar? Sound familiar?
It sure does.
Sure does. Japan had much more advanced horticulture than the U.S. at the time, so these immigrants weren't just bringing brute labor, they were bringing a lot of basic how-tos of commercial farming that built the foundation for California's success as an agricultural powerhouse today.
And probably you could probably say the automotive industry, too. Like, I mean, so you're saying we ripped off their skills?
Well,
And then we replicated it, and then we replaced them with cheaper labor.
Yes. Created the industry.
Damn, we're cold-hearted capitalists, motherfucker.
We are cold-hearted capitalists. So, Japanese immigrants... Japanese immigrant farm laborers, American dreamed so hard, many families were able to save money to buy their own land and start farming for themselves. Again, I would actually... So this is an interesting topic because of, I think, the real estate boom. This is one of the big... I think this is one of my, like, my future conspiracy theory ideas, that what we're seeing with the gentrification process of Californian cities,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be seeing really fascinating ripple effects within... Mexican and immigrant communities, because like you fucking have a place on a fill in the blank neighborhood in LA, the real estate goes
through
the roof. Hold on,
let's go around and spitball some neighborhoods.
Oh,
just for fun. Highland Park,
Boyle Heights,
what,
Culver City?
Yeah, okay, it's done. That's fun.
Okay, we did it. Fun, yeah. good game. So, you know, let's say Boyle Heights is actually a really good example because it is largely Mexican population. Boyle Heights starts getting really popular. The real estate starts fucking going through the roof. A lot of these families they own their little taco shop. They own their little...
That's racist.
No, I'm serious. I mean, like these little taco shops
in particular.
What do they
call Mexicans, make
right?
tacos or something?
Come on, get out of here. They own their little taco shop. They own like fill-in-the-blank restaurant, fill-in-the-blank home, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The real estate market changes. They sell. They make a massive profit, right? And then all of a sudden the American dream is fucking moving.
Yeah.
Right?
Or they're pushed out because they can't make rent anymore.
Or they can't make rent anymore. But I think it's a really interesting thing that these people who have their spots.
What they should do is take out a home equity loan against the value of their property. Let's just transfer this to an investment financial.
Our Charles Schwab.
And then they should reinvest I don't know, an apartment complex where they can then become the landlord and become the man.
But do you guys see what I'm saying about
such an interesting thing.
Well, you're saying the white man comes in with all of his cashish, buys him out, then they got to move to Oregon.
No, I don't think it's about that. I think it's about the immigrant populations capitalizing on the desire to move into neighborhoods that were typically owned and operated by Mexican families, and because of inflation and the skyrocketing real estate prices, if they have their spots, they end up profiting a lot of money that they can then reinvest in other things that then turns a low-income Mexican community into a middle-income, high-income Mexican community, which then changes the dynamic of the United States.
And
or
in the
particularly
case
in the
of
cities, right?
The Japanese internment, it wasn't like Japanese and Japanese. It was like Japanese. The thing continues by saying, like, the California Farm Bureau quoted saying Japanese farmers are responsible for 40% of all vegetables grown in the state, including nearly 100% of tomatoes, celery, strawberries, and peppers. So the Central Valley used to be peppered with Japanese family farms. Not anymore. What happened to them? The Japanese internment camps.
Right.
So Japanese internment was basically a giant land grab for white farmers.
Right.
They took all of their land away. They put them in camps.
Exactly.
And then
they're like, oh, you guys.
And they were like, oh, look, all this fertile, wonderful farmland that these brilliant Japanese farmers have created for you. Which white people want it?
Right. And then all those Japanese guys became like your gardeners. Remember in like the 60s and 70s?
Well, right.
I mean, you probably don't remember, but that was like
that was a thing. That was a stereotype.
Yeah, like in Karate Kid, Mr. Miyagi was like a gardener, right? Like, and I think, I don't know, you could probably go back a step and be like, yeah, they had nothing, so they had to start from the bottom again.
Right.
And then they had to sort of take these, you know, smaller sort of underpaying jobs. Right. But they had these high skills. And then, like, in it seems like one generation, they just, like, rose to the top again. Those people.
Yeah. I mean, this is a really fascinating, this breakdown on about the agricultural sector, I think, is... It's extremely long, but it's a really fascinating and I think important breakdown. And I think it's very easy to start seeing the similarities between what's happening with the Mexican population. And I mean, I don't think it's quite tit for tat because I think there are a lot of other issues. And I think this is one of those moments where in this case, Pearl Harbor galvanized a decision that ultimately
might have been brewing or.
Well, I don't know if it was brewing as much as like the capitalist pig.
Like
saw America,
the opportunity.
Saw the opportunity and exploited it, right? And I think that this is similar here, where it's like there are going to be like what we're seeing with like ICE and kind of the overall racial discrimination of Mexican families and Central American families as like refugees, etc. I think we're seeing what is happening with like civil forfeiture, which we were talking about earlier. I think you're seeing a little bit of that here, where it's like you're illegal. You don't deserve any of this. We're taking it. And then all of a sudden it becomes one of those things where like you have real estate, you flip it into this thing. You I think that the labor thing is complicated because I think it is really hard. Like the Central Valley farmers are having a really hard time finding American farmers to replace them. But I think it is, I think it's similar in the sense that we might see a lot more of the, we're taking your land, we're taking your shit, and then, you know, Americans flipping it into other stuff. Like exactly what happened with Japanese internment. So
Nobody talks about the Italian internment camps.
That was actually a thing. You were the one who sent that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, I read this article a while back about this town in Idaho that's this heavily populated Italian town, and you're like, and it stemmed from the Italian internment camps that they put in. There were some in Idaho and Montana.
Right.
And they had all these Italians, and these Italians just stayed after the war was over, and they just like set up shop and opened spaghetti meatball shops. And like you have these like interesting culturally rich heritage Italian towns in the middle of nowhere. And it's like, how did these get here? Oh, because they were sent there in camps because the same thing. They were lumped in with the Japanese.
Damn, that's so crazy.
And that's like another thing that just kind of gets swept under the rugs because Italians look white, but at the time, they were treated as a lower class citizen for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this on the pod before, or at least I've had this conversation, the thing with you is this whole idea of like whitewashing European Americans, I think is really interesting because I think obviously people are white. But I think once you start breaking down like Polish, Italian, Irish, whatever, there are these really specific cultures that have these very unique problems when they came to the United States as illegal immigrants, by the way. Like I think most of our family came here illegally and were just like, we're going to go to Ellis Island. We're going to see what works. And then bingo bango, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this lack of empathy because I think – I don't want to say it's because everybody's been labeled white, but I think that – that story about Italians is really interesting because I think if we knew more about that story or like the Japanese Americans, like if you were,
you could relate to,
you would relate to this. Like it would be built into your culture that like we were in the same shit. I empathize with what's happening. Right. But instead a lot of these stories have been lost to fucking lost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah.
Please
go ahead.
To bring it back to this article a little bit.
You're talking about the Washington Post.
The Washington Post article. It's so interesting. So basically, we just like kind of talked about how the farm lobby kind of got behind Japanese internment so that they could get the land underneath these families. And then the way it's like kind of working out now in the connection to illegal immigrants now is really related to the private prison sector.
Oh,
and
interesting.
The reason being that basically what you were saying, that immigrants who used to just be, you know, grunt labor are finding some upward mobility now. And in turn, they're having a harder time kind of getting people to work the land.
Right.
And farm work isn't something that just anybody can do. You have to really know what you're doing.
Right.
And these immigrants do know what they're doing, which is why they want to basically, like, putting it too simply, jail immigrants for being immigrants, because tons of industries in the United States rely on prison
labor,
labor. So by jailing a bunch of skilled farm workers for being immigrants, or, you know, we have zero policy, you're basically just bulking up your free labor. And that's the American prison systems are basically slavery. Like,
it's fucking insane, dude.
It's insane. So, like, that is crazy.
God,
so
damn it. I
private prisons have
word.
Business models, and they depend on people being okay with jailing immigrants for being immigrants, because they will be able to work for the farms.
God, I wish I want to. Oh, man. I mean, this...
What are the farms?
So fucking sad.
Do prisons have farms that are owned by...
Well, they don't have farms. I mean, what prisons have is they have, like... They have...
License
like, free
plate.
Labor that they lend out.
License plate. It's putting buttons on shit. It's, like, all that kind of stuff. It's
buttons?
All these, like, whatever. I mean, pick a thing. It's, like, these little these little menial jobs that you're forced to do for literally no pay.
A penny a day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As part of your prison sentence or your work program and whatever. And
so you're saying we still got slaves.
Yeah, we definitely still got slaves.
Cool.
I mean, we got slaves, but you don't call them
good
slaves because it. I mean, this kind of gets back to the. I mean, this in a lot
good
of ways
job,
gets
United
back
States.
To that weird scale of morality, where I think a lot of people go, like, kind of what you just did early at the beginning of the pod, where you were like, "Well, they are illegal, so, like, what are we supposed to do? We're following the law, right?" So, you know, you think
change,
about these
change the laws,
right? You change the laws, but also, like, prisoners. Okay, cool. Like, well, they're in prison. What are you supposed to do? Like, that's they broke the law. They have to pay for it. This is part of their payment. They go, you mean fucking slave labor is part of their payment? They go, they broke the law.
They broke the law.
Right? So I think that this is one of those things where you go, well, they broke the law. What are we supposed to do? Like, let their kids stay with them?
Yeah.
You go, yeah. They go, well, they broke the law. We go, well, is that how we have to function? Because I think that if we're functioning that way, there's a lot of these gray areas that all of a sudden you go, well, Japan bombed us. Like, what are we supposed to do? Let Japan fucking talk to their relatives and
yeah,
do this?
Yeah, it's like, we're not computers. We're human beings, and, like,
right.
That's what makes human beings different than computers. It's, like, empathy. Like, God, really? Like, are we going to live this, like, black and white existence of, well, they broke a law that we put on the books specifically so that we could jail people?
Right.
So we're going to jail them.
I mean, that's also, it's interesting because continuing with this story and this breakdown on this amazing post that we got to give this person gold.
Yeah.
This is an amazing breakdown. It's by Old Divorce Case.
Old Divorce Case.
Okay. Sorry about that. We kind of have an old divorce case ourselves.
We do.
With our boy Casey. Anyway, so this is another thing that's brought up, and I think this is, again, similar to the story about Mexicans and not exclusively Mexicans. I think we got to remember that this is also Central America.
Yeah.
This is El Salvador. This is Guatemala. This is
totally
Venezuela. These are countries that are fucking biting it right now, and they need help. So, but this is there was a downside, though. Remember how Japanese-American farmers were growing nearly half of the country's produce? And the U.S. war strategy was, in quotes, an army marches on its stomach, so we need a super, super solid supply chain for food. It turns out putting most of the country's skilled farmers in jail didn't help with making food. So once internment started, food shortages quickly followed. How did the U.S. handle that mishap? Victory Gardens! Victory Gardens were the propagandistic answer to the chaos created by FDR's roundup and imprisonment of the 120,000 Japanese Americans. That's a fucking huge number, by the way. That's an insane number.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Japanese internment and Victory Gardens. Alert reader.
Victory Gardens. Yeah. That's a nice spin. Marketing, bro.
Yeah,
advertising.
Don Hall from Costa Mesa pointed out that a bit of an untold story regarding the Victory Gardens I mentioned in last week's Garden Trends column. So apparently there was a Garden Trends column. I don't know what that is. So Victory Gardens were less plucky nation pitches in the Plucky Nation pitches in the war effort, and more, oh wow, we systematic racismed so hard that we punched a hole in the economy. Do we admit we made the mistake and fix it? Nah, let's foist the consequences off on civilians. So what is, what are the Victory Gardens? You guys know what that's all about?
No.
I think during the war you could start your own garden in your backyard and send food for the troops. So it's like,
oh, right.
They needed, just like you would recycle your home metals and stuff for to
that's
build
right.
tanks
yes.
and planes.
Yes. So
you
yes. could,
I'd never
you know,
heard
sort
of that.
Of like
so
grow your own. If everybody used their garden to grow their own produce,
right.
And
a vegetable garden, especially a home garden, planted to increase food production during a war. I mean, this is the whole. I mean, it's fascinating. Fascinating. History is fascinating, dude. Because this is basically we all know. I think what we've been told through...
Are you more cynical? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we've been told... What was that?
I was going to say, you're more cynical. You're told, like, oh, everything's great and America's the best and everyone's... And you start, like, peel back. You're like, oh, we're just, like, trying to win and we kind of will fuck people up to get there.
We fuck people up, but also...
But I don't want to know about it.
We make mistakes that we then reframe.
Football,
I mean, that's what's interesting about the...
Nachos. Chicks and cheerleaders.
I mean,
yeah.
That's what's interesting
and, like,
about
there's
Victory
all these
Gardens,
distractions.
Dude,
yeah.
Is Victory Gardens were, like, we've been told for so long about the war effort during World War II. Like, women working in the factories, right? And, like, everybody's
Rosie
got
the Riveter.
Like, Rosie the Riveter and Victory Gardens or whatever. And then you find out, you go, holy shit, there was a food shortage because we imprisoned the largest population of food producers for our country, right? And our food wasn't there, so... All of a sudden, you create something that now our narrative goes, that was when America was together. That was when we were all working together to solve the problem of war. But in reality, it was we fucked up.
So what?
And we had to backtrack and figure out a solution.
What are
so
we
it
learning?
Wouldn't be a fuck up, right?
What are we learning about all this stuff? I feel like we have to learn something.
About this topic specifically?
Well, as it implies to, like, you know, maybe humanity or our country or what. I feel like you're marketed a certain story that sounds really good and makes you feel good. And that's the one that
I mean, that
know.
Capitalism is disease? Is that what we're learning?
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think
feel like people walk around without, like, what are the implications of all this stuff?
Well, I think...
You want to feel good, and you don't want to feel like you're the kind of person that could have been a Nazi, but it's like,
right?
Sure, you could have. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I think that's
just,
one of
you
the
just
big
say
messages
like,
always.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm following the rules, and I'm doing what everyone told me.
I mean, that's
that's
verbatim what ICE people are saying right now.
Yeah.
Just taking
and
the orders,
but it's not.
It's
also
like
not ICE.
Where does it end?
Like, this is also the tough thing. Is like, if we were to meet an ICE officer right now, he'd be like, listen, this is my job. If I don't have a job... I can't pay for my fucking baby formula for my kid that I just had.
Yeah.
I live here. This is what I do. I'm just doing my fucking job.
Right.
And I understand
take
that.
Take the
and
silver
I empathize
or take
that.
The lead, right?
I mean, dude, but that's honestly, like, I think we all can empathize with that. I think we all, like, can look at something and be like, we totally get that this is your job. It is not easy to be a revolutionary. I'm not suggesting we become revolutionaries. I just think that part of this is an effort to better understand the context in which things are happening and what could inevitably be the eventual end of it all, which is, like, the prison labor thing is fucking dark, dude.
Yeah.
Like, the private prison sector is dark. And I think that that's one of those things where we might see the American economy go booming because all of a sudden all these immigrants that we're putting in prisons are doing all this menial fucking labor that all of a sudden is making, like, the automotive industry come back for cheap and all this shit. Because that's essentially why we've been struggling economically anyway, is the international market has – we have people across the world, particularly in China, particularly – I mean, fuck, dude, not to get on a crazy tangent here, but, like, look at everything that's happening with the trade tariffs. Like, I don't know if it's coincidence that what's happening right now with the immigrant population is – happening at the same time that we're dealing with these incredibly complicated conversations with trade tariffs. Because if we don't have to rely on having a good relationship with Canada because suddenly all of these people that we're imprisoning because they're immigrants, etc., and putting in jails and so on and so forth are doing the work that we would ordinarily be getting through Canada or getting through China, so we don't have to rely on them anymore. Like, shit, dude, that sounds a lot like Victory Gardens to me, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm wrong. Maybe I'm a fucking crazy person, but that seems like what is going on right now. And so who knows if that's ultimately where it's going to result. But, like, I think everything that's happening everything that happened with the internment camps, when you really dig down under the surface, I think you start seeing, it's a lot easier to be like, okay, we're seeing families getting separated from their children. We're seeing this weird thing with ICE and zero tolerance and whatever. Maybe there's something darker and deeper that we're going to benefit as Americans from later that these people are really suffering for.
Make right? America great again, you know?
I mean, make America fucking make America what it was in World War II when it was considered the greatest country on earth. Maybe like that might actually be what's happening, right? Because the idea of making America great again, like America was great at a time when it wasn't actually fucking great for everybody. It was just great for select people that were producing things on a mass scale, right? I mean, shit, dude. Like reading about this is really making me like. I can't believe that
That's what I'm saying. What are we learning? Like, what are the implications? Like, the wool's being pulled back off the eyes. Like, I think it's always been like this. I don't think it's not ever been like this. And it's still probably better than it's ever been in history.
Oh, of course.
So, right. I don't know what you take out of that, but I mean, people are fucked up, right? We're animals, but we're also empathetic and we love our kids. So it's like you try not to be an animal. Yeah. And that's the struggle is you fight every, you know, I don't know, like politically. This administration seems like they're sliding into a kind of an animalistic direction. And I think there are a lot of people going like, that's not me. I'm not for that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so what do? You vote and you just swap them out.
But yeah, I mean that. But
it becomes like,
that's the trick. I mean, that's
sold a story on the news and blah blah blah, and then you're being I just watched this 60 Minutes things on Big Pharma, and I don't want to get into Big Pharma, but fuck, it's depressing.
Well, follow the money.
But you're like, dude, we just like the whole since 1996, like the country just got dealt drugs,
right?
And like got put into how many hundreds of thousands of people have been killed where like these companies got rid? And you're like, nobody seems to give a shit because like
totally.
Someone's making money and they're getting the politicians off and you're like, oh, this is all fucked up, right?
God. Yeah. I mean, I will say as it pertains to Big Pharma, it's kind
Cui bono,
of course. I mean, it is kind of interesting. So there was actually a good story. We'll wrap this up because I think we're getting in ranty Joe Rogan mode, and I think that not that Joe Rogan's ranty, but we're getting Rogan time is what I meant.
Rogan mode.
But I think that I read a story that apparently Purdue Pharma, who produces OxyContin, laid off their entire sales force for OxyContin this week.
Really?
So they're allegedly shifting focus away from OxyContin and moving into cancer treatments and neurological disorder treatments.
Well,
so
I guess now's as good a time as any that I took over all those jobs and I'm going to be selling OxyContin from now on.
They'll just call it something else.
Yeah,
we only have one salesperson now, and her name is Dog Boobs, and she has a lot of OxyContin to sell. So
and I definitely try my own product.
Who's that?
And it's great. So
we're hooked. Everyone's hooked. You'll love
it. But I don't know if that's a good news or not, because I think, particularly given the conversation we've had today, I think I'm kind of like, what's this? What's the back end story that you're trying to do here, right? But they made a lot of money on OxyContin and basically ruined a whole generation of people. So I think hopefully, they all burn in hell. Hopefully, hell's real and they burn there. That's what I mean.
Yeah, and all of the regulators and elected officials kind of like went with the pro, and doctors just went along with it because they made money. So back to what you were saying about the ICE officials kind of just doing their job. And I mean, people ultimately will come down to a choice, especially if they have a family. It's like you either kind of do this thing for money or not, and then are you willing to sacrifice your whole livelihood for it? And most people aren't.
No,
I just think 90%
of
people
won't.
You know?
I think you'd have to be truly irrational to sacrifice your whole livelihood for it.
Yeah, yeah. And so everyone, I think people think.
But it depends on like how dark it gets. You know?
I mean, we
it
all,
does, but
we
you
all
can also choose
that,
to be.
But as little as, or could, as slowly as it happens, the more likely people are going to just be like,
it creeps in. The doctor says this isn't addictive, and it's like this is fine, and there's all these like stop measures where it won't get out of control, and then it does, and you're like, look, I was lied to, man. And it's, you know, you sort of play dumb because it works for you.
Yeah.
And you and look, people are just like that. People take the easy road every time.
Yeah, I mean, I also just think that I think America's great masterful trick is
advertising.
Advertising is certainly part of it, but I think it's making people docile through entertainment that allows people to not think life is as bad as it is. And I don't think, and I'm not saying life is bad. I think that it's easy to think about this topic as an incredibly
cynical thing.
It's more
like a distraction.
But, yeah, it's really easy. Exactly. It's really easy to go, fuck, this is fucked up, X, Y, Z. And then all of a sudden, you know, Battlefield comes out and you go, but this game is dope, right? Or whatever. Or like, we're spending all of our time on the internet.
How many people
do we
know that actually go do something about it?
Well, I also think
I don't know anybody who fucking helps.
I know.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting around on the internet.
Guys.
And we just bitch about it or whatever. I'm not like criticizing us specifically, but I think in general, that's kind of like...
It's very hard.
Even everybody on the news who's like ranting and raving and...
I mean, it's hard and the stakes are high. I mean, I think about that a lot in terms of what I would be willing to do to sacrifice myself knowing that I would go to prison for potentially a long time. And it would have to be a lot, right? Because I do not want to go to prison. I do not want to deal with the...
Not with that haircut.
Yeah. Not with the real legal ramifications of revolution, right? And I think that it's like... And that's an important point. It's a really important point.
Because your life's pretty goddamn good. You got that video game, dude. You got swords on demand. You got nachos on demand.
But that is, I think, the great...
You got them cheap socks out of China.
The great conversation that I think is really difficult to have is like, what are we as people willing to do...
To give up.
To sacrifice for the greater good of a country or a world that we... already are benefiting from, no matter how fucked up it is, right?
Yeah.
Will you let a lot of immigrants suffer for the quality of life that you have right now?
Yeah.
And I think it sort of comes
really
around to
challenging
sort of,
question.
You're
right?
Good right now. The government's fucking these people's lives up, but doesn't really affect yours. Your life might get better or stay the same. I think a lot of people are just like, I don't want to say anything. I'm just going to keep on going by the...
Yeah,
you know,
and I don't think
flowing.
I mean, I also think we just have a... there's a little bit of...
Might send a Facebook post.
I mean,
this ain't good. I'm going to go back to watching my video games.
I mean,
my Jack porn.
I think part of it is trying to figure out how to use the system to make a difference within the system. I think that's the kind of the challenge of capitalism, right? I think capitalism has undeniably... created a lot of good and a lot of bad simultaneously. And I'm not saying one necessarily outweighs the other. I'm certainly not a fucking communist who's like down with capitalism, but I think that
I'm
like
a democratic guy from, socialist myself.
Like the guy from West Point. Demso.
Yeah, oh yeah, I saw that, the communism guy. But I think that you need to be able to use the system to work the system, right? So it's like, think about something like Uber with taxis, right? And I don't think that Uber obviously is kind of their own massive problem, but like taxis, it forced the taxi industry to change immediately.
And to that point, I think you're going to need like a Google or an Amazon or somebody with some that's private with some weight, with some they claim to have
good intentions, right?
They claim to have good intentions.
Or Zuckerberg. I mean, even Zuckerberg, I think, is a good example.
They all
claim
that they're like whatever they fuck
Musk,
they claim.
I mean, whoever, right?
But, you know, guys, one person is not going to be able to shift the system necessarily, but some of these. You know, Amazon could, and they're talking about getting into healthcare, and that could be interesting. And maybe there's a way to like they can disrupt those systems.
Yeah,
but and maybe they could go to a state like California and be like, look, we want things to change, and here's why. We're not going to pay taxes, or we're going to move overseas, or whatever they can.
Or even
threaten.
I mean, imagine if Amazon got into the prison industry, right? And I think this is like actually it's really not far from the truth because of their warehouses, right? So I think this is one of those things where you go, what happens if Amazon gets into the prison industry and suddenly...
Free labor, baby.
Well, and suddenly becomes a thing where it's like, if you commit a crime in California, you go to a prison that you're just like, this ain't bad, dog, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, well, fuck, man. Like, all of a sudden people, the prison industry changes and all of a sudden the private prison industry may... get a revolution through capitalism that I think it deserves and needs, right? So I mean, fuck, dude, it's endlessly complicated. None of us have the resources to do it, but I think that at least the first step is making a Facebook post about it. Is trying to understand it.
Chemtrails.
And taking the time to like be aware of it.
And not be naive, but also back to neutral politics. I think, you know, just because you're a liberal or a conservative, like it's both sides are going to be doing fucked up shit in their own ways, and like trying to see it for what it is and not the team you vote for
is so crucial.
It's really crucial, for making a good decision. Right. And then be willing to vote against your team if you don't agree with it.
Agreed. All right, so we're going to wrap this one up. I think that this one's easy to talk about for a long time. Again, we didn't want to come out and be political with this one. I know we got a little political, but the reality is this is what the internet has been this week. And I think that we have to recognize the reality of that. We will talk about fucking porn next week. I don't know.
And also, to that point, I mean, we like when people like Casey send us sweet subs that are really interesting.
Yeah, send us subs. He sent us one that I've been kind of like looking at nonstop because he sent us tendies, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I really want to talk about it because it's this weird world that I have a hard time understanding, but
I
need to learn about tendies.
I don't want to be a political podcast, guys.
No, we're not a political podcast, we are an internet podcast, and the internet can be political. And I think that it's disingenuous for us to be like, we're not a political podcast, so we'll never talk about it. But it's like the internet is like in the same way that we need to be able to talk about porn sometimes because that's the internet. We need to be able to talk about politics because that's the internet, right?
And it's more Reddit, porn ultimately, than politics.
That's not all this I'm week. Saying.
That's not all I'm week. Saying, yeah. guys.
Talking more about porn.
I'm just saying we should just shade a little bit towards porn.
porn today with dog boobs.
You know what we need to do eventually is the NSFW sub.
Well, we got to figure out how.
Yeah, I don't know if there's like National Porn Day coming up or something we can link it to. But
every day is National Porn Day, my friend.
That's right, in America. Yeah. Yes. Keep jerking it and quit paying attention to what we're doing over here at the border.
That should be our other catchphrase is don't give up and keep jerking
it. Keep jerking it, everybody.
Keep jerking it, everybody. All right, so let's do a couple of randoms to close this one out.
Yes.
Fascinating topic. Do a little research on your own. We will post the main Reddit post that kind of initiated this conversation that you will be able to find on our website and our Facebook and our subreddit, which has been horribly inactive, but we're going to start actually using it to post some of the things that we talk about. So you can follow along if you want and engage with us, etc. Which is probably just DigiReddit, I think, is probably the subreddit.
Yeah, that's where to go.
Just find it. You figure it out.
This is a cool sub. Full movies on YouTube.
Ooh!
That sounds illegal.
Totally illegal.
God, count me in.
Like, quit blowing up our spot, bruh.
That's amazing.
I found one called, you know how there's old school cool?
Right.
There's old school creepy.
Ooh.
And it's very creepy. There's a Siberian bear hunting armor that looks like this.
Oh,
we're
boy.
Looking at a leather suit that's been pegged with spikes everywhere.
Like 1 million spikes.
Like 1 million spikes.
From
almost
the year
like
1800.
A bear is not going to mess with you, though.
No.
It's a good point.
No, you will get very cold.
I mean, what that guy did was like, the porcupine seems to be surviving quite well for how big it is.
This porcupine is thriving out there in bear country.
So I got imaginary monster girls.
Oh,
this is relatively popular.
Is this like deviant art?
It's deviant art. It's deviant art. Yeah, pretty much, more or less. I mean, it's just like kind of sexy girls that are sometimes naked who look like maybe they.
We should do special episodes where we like dip into a different website, like deviant art or 4chan.
That's 4chan. We gotta get a
master's. I feel like we need a guide
first. Yeah,
we need a guide to take.
Yeah,
we need
an incel guide. We need somebody wearing a fedora to guide us through 4chan.
Yep.
Though we could do green text. Green text is actually a funny subreddit because it's kind of like it's about 4chan, like highlights of 4chan. That it,
interesting. Yep.
I just got Finland, which is cool. Back to my basics. Real lame.
Yeah, it's back to that.
Well, it's one of those countries you're like, I'm sure Finland's great, and then you get there, you're like, this place is fucking boring, dude.
Right.
Oh man, this is crazy. I didn't even know this was a concept. This is nuts. This is split. Depth gifts.
Ooh.
So this is gifts with multiple depths.
It goes somewhere. It's a story?
That sounds pretty cool.
It's pretty fucking nuts, dude. This is really, really interesting, actually. Ooh, all right, anyway.
I just found a soccer one.
Ugh.
Ew.
All right, cool. We're out. We got to close
USA.
This one up. Like
USA.
Us. Follow us. Rate us, etc.
Don't rape us.
Don't rape us. We're not a politics podcast. We just talk about it sometimes. All right. My name is It's Your Dad.
I'm Dog Boobs.
My free day.
This has been DigiReddit.
Continue reaching out to exclusively me on Facebook.
Yes. Yes. Reach out exclusively to her. She goes by Dog Boobs on Facebook. You can find her at Dog Boobs. Dog Boobs, Dog Boobs.
That's D-O-O-B-E-S.
Yeah.
So
D-O-G-B-O-O-B-E-S.
We can't read. Yeah. Remember, we can't read.